heard a man say this week, God always leaves a remnant. Always leaves a little bit. And it got me to thinking, is that a true statement? That God always leaves a little bit? And I started thinking of examples in the Bible. In the book of Ruth, Boaz, he was commanded by God, he commanded all the farmers that when you reap your fields, always leave the corners so that the poor could come and go after the reapers, and they could glean off those, and they could be there for the poor. So they would come after the reapers and they would get food for themselves. A little bit, just a little bit for those in need. God always leaves a remnant. In the book of Judges, turn to Judges chapter 7. Gideon is asked to go against some mighty army, and Gideon's going, okay, I'm going to go. And then he says, maybe not. Why don't you give me a sign? So he goes through the whole deal of getting a sign from God, and he says, okay, I believe you now. And then he has like 22,000 men. Now, getting 22,000 men to go before the enemy, you think, all right, we're going to go and conquer. And God says this. He goes, too many. You got too many men. Uh-oh. So you need to weed out those men. And he says, this is the way you're going to weed them out. He says, tell those who are fearful, who don't want to go, you can leave and go home. And so they do. 12,000 men leave. Okay. So he's left with 10. He's left with 10,000 men to go against this great army. And so God says, that's still too many. That's still too many men to go up against. And people are going to say you did it by your own might, that I didn't help you. So we're going to weed those people out. And so he says, take them down to the water. And those who get down on their knees and lap the water like dogs, get those out. But those who scoop the water and bring it up to their mouths, those are the ones that you keep. So Gideon now has 300 men. 300 men. An army of 300. A significant number. But it's an interesting thing, because if you look at Judges chapter 8, you look down at verse 10. Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Calcor with their army, about 15,000 men. All who were left of all the army of the people of the east, For there had fallen 120,000 men who drew the sword. These 300 men had been victorious over 120,000 men. I think God wanted credit. I think God said, I can work with 300. I can do what I need to do with 300 men. Amen? Amen? Amen. So be it. You see, God can always use a remnant. God can always use what is available to him who wants to do his will. Always. Turn to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, not very far from Ruth. I'm sorry, 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4. It's got to be one of my most favorite stories in the Bible. 1 Kings, verse 1. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in your house?" And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside. Borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels, and not too few. Then go in and shut the door and behind yourself. Oh, go and shut the door behind yourself and your sons, and pour into all those vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went. She went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay for your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." One of my favorite stories. Because if you allow yourself to be placed back into this widow's position, it's an amazing story. Because you see, this widow was married to a man of God. He was. He was one, they said, when they said he was one of the sons, he was in the training camp of Elisha. He had walked with Elisha. He was a prophet himself. And something happened. He'd either gotten sick, he had been run over by a cart. I don't know. It doesn't say. It's not recorded here what happened to the woman's husband. Anyway, she was in a desperate place, right? What was bottom for her? You see, what was bottom? Where was she? Like, I can't live anymore. I need help. Was it when her husband died? No, it wasn't. Was it when she didn't have anything to eat? When she had to tell her children, "I'm sorry, there's nothing in the cupboard.
But Mom, I'm hungry.
I'm sorry, baby. I know your stomach's growling, but we don't have anything. You see, that wasn't even bottom for her. That wasn't base for her. She had probably gone out and sold everything she had. I got to get my baby something to eat. She probably had to borrow some money. I got to do some desperate things to get out of this situation. Oh my God. When she had run out of things that she could do in the flesh, she only had one place left to go. She went to the prophet.
Look, I know you know who my husband was. You knew him intimately. You knew he walked with you. You trained him. You know him.
I am desperate. Creditors have come for my children. What mama is not going to be desperate enough to do everything they can do to keep her children safe? You've heard the saying, don't mess with Mama Bear. So she comes to Elisha and says, we need help. They're going to take them away. His first question is, I don't think he's being sarcastic. He says, what do you want me to do? He says, I'll tell you what. What you got in your house? I got a jar of oil. That's it. What can you do with a jar of oil? That's the only thing I have of any type of worth. Do you know what oil meant back in that day? It meant everything. It was electricity. It was light. It was fire. It was everything in that day. And they said, I got a jar of oil. And he says, well, I'll tell you what you do. Go to your neighbors and get as many vessels, empty vessels, as you can. Okay. Come on, boys. Grab your red flyer wagons. Can you see them? Sally's, you go to, you know that grappy old lady? You go to her. I don't care. You go to any house and you ask them. And when they turn you away, you say, empty something out and poop, give me a jar. I'm sorry, all I have is this jar of pickles. Throw it out. I need the jar. Go get jars. Not a few. I'm saying, don't just get five. Don't just get 50. Get as many as you can haul. Don't break them either. We can't use broken ones. Okay, Mama. Okay. So, man, they come back. Look at all the jars we got. Okay, bring them in. Now, okay. Are we in here? Shut the door. Lock it. Put the shades down. Don't let anybody see. Because you know nosy neighbors. Come on, they're looking. Did you see that? Did you see that crazy ladies? Did you see those kids?
And you know they were asking questions. They were going, what you going to do with these jars?
That's weird. You're weird. You know, sometimes when God asks you to do something, it looks weird. But you know, when you're desperate, you don't care. When they're about to take your children, you don't care. You don't care what you look like. You just know, prophet told me to do this, this is what I'm doing. I didn't stand around and have a conversation with the guy. I just know what he said to do, and I'm doing it. So they're in the house. Can you imagine? There's jars everywhere. There's jars on the table. There's jars on the chair. There's jars on the stove. There's jars in the bathroom. There's jars on top of the vanity. There's jars everywhere. And so they take that. Yeah, Maddie, there's jars in the bassinet. They move the baby out. It's okay. They take it. Okay, give me a jar. And it's going. Look, this isn't gonna even fill that jar. But this is what he told me to do. I'm just going to do it by faith. I'm just going to do what he told me to do. Oh my gosh. Here, put this somewhere. Give me another one. 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 Mama, that's all there is. Okay. Oil ran out. So, Mom, what do we do now? I don't know. He didn't tell me. Let's go back to the prophet. And she says, I have all the oil. What do you want me to do now? He said, go sell the oil. Pay your debtors off. Get your kids out of debtor prison and live on the rest. Do you think she was worried? Do you think she had the question? What am I going to do when this money runs out? Do you think her faith was built up enough to say, it really doesn't matter? Because if God took care of me then, he will take care of me over there too. If God can take care of me where I'm at, he will take care of me where I'm going. If God can take care of me when my faith is this small, he will take care of me when my faith is this big. And this big, and this big, how much can God do when my back is up against the wall and I have no place else left to go? But know that God can do miraculously more than whatever I can think or imagine. You see, what God can do with a little bit of oil. You see what God can do with just a few men. You see what God can do for Boaz when he left just a little bit of ground when he met Ruth. Boaz was a wealthy man, but he was a single wealthy man. And he was probably going, you know, I'd give all of this up for the treasure of a godly woman. And he got it. What would we do? I'm telling you this. I don't care what happened to you in 2017. I don't know what your bottom is. I don't care what your checkbook says. I don't care what went on. I don't care that relationships are hard and they have probably reached their maximum. Because let me tell you what, whatever is bankrupt in your life, 2018, we can enter in with confidence. We can enter in with confidence because God says we can. Because God says when you're in a place to be able to say what is in the past is in the past and what is in the future, I can be in control of if you allow me to be. If you allow me to take on the very thing that you're bankrupt in, I can make it flourish. When you come to Him and you say, all I have is a little bit of oil, God, He says, give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me. And let me multiply. There are some people that go, God, I only got $5. Do you understand the principle, the idea of 30, 60, 100 fold? Percentage? It's amazing. God says, you give it to me, I can multiply 30, 60, 100 fold. I now work in the banking industry, and there, I can't even touch that type of dividends. Ain't no way. We're talking 1%. I'm talking one fold. He's going 30, 60, 100. Where would I plant my treasure? In the kingdom of God. You're talking about contrast. It blows my mind. Do the math. And He says, trust me in that. Trust me. God says, trust me in that. Go ahead. He says, I'm not a man that I could lie. I'm not a man that I could lie about this kind of stuff. I am the I am. I love this woman. I love this woman. I love her story. I love her place of desperation. I love her place of saying, my back is against the wall. I love her place where she says, I have no place else left to go. But I love her place of obedience. Let me tell you this. What got her out of her place of desperation? Was it her obedience? No. It was her faith. Her faith led her to her obedience. Let me tell you what. We will not obey unless we believe that He could do it in the first place. We got to believe. We got to believe that He is able. We got to believe that He loves us. You know what I read to you, Isaiah 51. He says, I am the one who comforts you. Even I am the one who gives you who I am
in this universe. I am the one who created you. And so therefore, I have instilled in you. In Romans, it says, I have given you a little bit of faith so you can build on it. And then he says, when you build on that faith, what happens? It increases. And it increases. And that faith is counted unto us as righteousness. And as it is counted unto righteousness, what? We become a family. A family of people who love the Lord and give glory to God. The ultimate goal of God. That we give unto Him. He is what? The Creator. The One. We're privileged. We're privileged people. Privileged people. To know who created us. To love us. Why wouldn't we come into 2018 with all the confidence? Because we know Him. We know Him. Turn to Psalms. 20, verse 7. There's a song that we sing with this. We sing it a lot. I don't remember the last time we sang it. But Psalm 20. Verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but we're going to trust in the name of the Lord. Do you trust in the things that you see? You see, I'm going to tell you this. I was talking to Beth, actually. And when I was talking to her, I'm going to save it. Understand that when you can trust in things that you see, or you can trust in what God has said to be true. And sometimes they can be totally different. What will be the outcome? What will be the truth? What will happen? What God says. What God says. You see a lot of campaign posters around town. A lot of them. You see a lot of, you see things in the mail. A lot of. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. Trust in what God says. Trust in who He says He is. And what He says do. That's all we can do. And believe in. When we live our lives, it doesn't have to make sense by the flesh. I remember I was talking to someone and they said, tithing doesn't make sense. I said, what do you mean by that? How can I give money away and
still pay my bills because I'm stretched. I'm at the max right now. I said, well, I can only tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you tithe and give offerings, that I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour blessings. Amen. That's what he said he would do. And he said, test me. So I'm saying to you, test him. I'm not saying any more than what God is saying to you. And they say, okay. Doesn't make sense to me. I'm at 100% of doing everything that I am doing. I make $2,000 a month. I spend $2,000 a month. Where's it going to come from? I don't know. Give God what he says give, and let's see what he does. Came back the next few months. He goes, it worked. I said, really? It worked? I said, what do you mean that it worked? He goes, I tithe. I gave offering. I said, and you paid your bills? Every one of them. And where did that money come from? He goes, you wouldn't believe it. I got money from places I didn't even know I could get money from. People came and just gave me money. It was amazing. I'm telling you, I'm not saying this happens every time, all the time. It could. I don't know. All I know is that God will move men on your account. He has, he does, he will. Personal testimony on my account. He will move men on your account. It's just God. When I go forth in God, and what I see on pen and paper, I will believe this ink and paper way before I believe in these numbers that I would write down. Turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. I just heard somebody say, how can I be sure? But Arthur, how can I be sure? It's called faith. Read Hebrews. Hebrews says, you can be sure because when you act upon the voice of the Lord, when he speaks to you, you act on it, and then you can act on it, and then you can act on it, and then you can take bigger steps, and then bigger steps, and then bigger steps, and bigger steps, and bigger steps. And I'm telling you, the Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do to me? When the Lord is on your side, when the Lord is rooting for you, Do you believe the Lord is rooting for you?
Amen.
Yes, He is. He's going, for the work that I started in you, I will complete. Don't you think? Don't you think? That the work that He started in you, He's going to complete it? You see, that's very important to God. It's very important that what He has established in the earth work. Why is it important that it works? Because it has His name. Moses. Moses is leading the people out of Egypt. And he says, and God's like, I'm really sick of these Israelite people. And he says, I'm just going to start over. And Moses says, don't do it. Don't kill them. And you know how Moses appeals to them? He says, don't kill them for your name's sake. Because they have your name on there. They know you're their God. All of these other tribes know that you are their God. And they'll laugh at you. They'll go, ha, look, those people didn't even make it. And he says, spare them. Work with them. Change them. Do whatever you need to do. God's got a plan for you. And He's going to take you through some things in life. You know, Paul, remember, we started out this in Philippians. He was in prison. And he didn't think that prison was that big a deal. I would have thought that was a big deal to me. I don't have my toilet. I like my toilet. I like my meals. I mean, good meals. Not just the slop that they serve you in prison back in that day. I like my comforts. They didn't have Serta sleepers in prison. They probably had floors. And they probably had a bucket in the corner. And right next to that bucket was another bucket on the other side of those bars. And, of course, his smelled worse than mine. It stunk. But you didn't see him complaining about it, did you? In Philippians, he says, don't pray that I get out. Pray that the gospel is being preached. Because every time that guard came, he was going, do you know about Jesus? I love that. No matter where Paul was, he was talking about Jesus. The Lord is on my side and takes my part. He is among those who help me. Therefore, shall I see my desire established upon those who hate me? It is better to trust and take refuge in the Lord than to put confidence in it is better. Hebrews 3, starting with verse 4. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are His house, if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. What is it that we boast in? We boast in our hope. Man, my hope is in Jesus. My hope isn't in myself. There's somebody that talks to me every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning,
they tell me, I'm not worthy to get up here and talk to you. They say, Arthur, what are you doing? Why would you say that to them? Every Sunday morning, they say that. And I say, you're right. I am not worthy. I am not worthy to stand behind this pulpit and read to you and speak to you. But I tell you what I am. I am a son of God who is just obeying what God has told him to do. That's it. Asking you to be the same person, to be a daughter and son of God and obey Him and say, learn to hear His voice. And if you can do that, every day will be an adventure for you. Every day He will draw you closer to Him. Every day. He is a son over the house of God. And He is faithful to His people. Indeed, if we hold fast our confidence. You see, when I hear that voice, when that voice comes and says, Arthur, you're not worthy. If I throw down my confidence, if I say, man, you're right, man, let's pack this up, let's go home. Come on, Sharon. Let's go eat at IHOP. Actually, Egg and I for me. I'm an Egg and I instead of IHOP. I could throw away my confidence if I look at myself. But if I look at Jesus, my confidence is stirred. My confidence is like my hope has a future. My hope in God says, I'm not going to let you fall. And if you fall, I'm going to pick you up. And when I pick you up, we're going to go farther. You're going to know more. You're going to be strengthened. We're going to do what we have accomplished to do. I believe that with all my heart. With all my heart, I believe that. What is it that you're putting before the Lord that only God can do? Only God can do this for you. I'm telling you, this afternoon, write it down. What is it that you are believing for God that only God can do for you? Write it down. And be listening. He may be telling you, take that step. Then take the step. The first house. To go find that empty jar. And then the second step, to go find another empty jar. And take another step. And then find so many jars that your wagon can't hold them all. Your job's not done. And then bring them back into the house. Shut the door. Because you know there's going to be naysayers. There's going to be people who say, you can't do it. You can't do it. Don't be stupid. You can't do this. Especially when you tell Aunt Gertrude. You tell Aunt Gertrude. She's going to come over to your house. You know she's going to come over to your house. Aunt Gertrude's going to be asking, Why did you send that kid over to my house? You really have to tell Aunt Gertrude, it's none of your business.
But she asked the boy when she came to the house, she said, well, Mom just told us to get all these jars. What's she need them for? I don't know. She just told us to do it. So she goes over and asks. She asks the widow, what are you doing with the jars? That prophet was smart. Shut the door. Shut the door. Sometimes you have to shut that door of voices in your head to say, this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work for you. Look at how much oil you got. And you're going to put that in all of those empty jars? Uh-huh. I'm going to step outside. Okay? I'll be right back. Big Spring, I've got some patient here for you. For those of you who are listening, Big Spring is our closest mental institution. They're going to call you crazy. But you're not crazy. You're just obeying. Verse 7. The rest for the people of God. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as the rebellion of the day of testing in the wilderness. For your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. He's going, look, don't harden your hearts. What have you been believing for God for so many years? Where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. What does that mean, they shall not enter my rest? It means they're not going to enter into the place where God says, ah. You ever sigh? You ever go, ah. Hard day's work. You go home, sit on the couch, sit in your seat, your recliner, whatever. You just, that sigh. Feels good, doesn't it? I love it. I take note of it. They're not going to enter my rest. They're not going to enter that place where they can sigh and go, we did it. We made it. They're not going to do it. Because they hardened their hearts. They walked around in the wilderness for 40 years. Don't harden your heart. Don't look at this and go, it ain't ever going to happen. It ain't ever going to happen. God's given up on me. He has not given up on you. How long am I going to have to struggle with this? I don't know. But don't harden your heart. He will be victorious in your life. Don't look at your checkbook. It has had $5 in it for so long. When will I ever prosper? I don't know. Look in the Word at what it takes to
been dealing with this sickness for so long. When will I be healed? I don't know. Don't give up. Pray. And pray again. I see Donna's post. She goes, pray with me. I need help. Pray with me. What do? You pray with her. I can't heal cancer. I can't do it. But I know who can. And I know who will. And I know his plan. I will pray. That is the will of God. So, you know, my husband, he's just, oh my gosh, my husband doesn't do this and my husband don't do that. My wife, oh my gosh, she just always nagging me. I wish they'd change. Oh my gosh. How long do I have to endure? We've been married 6 months and look at them. I don't know. I know if you do your part and you live and understand how a husband should be and you live as a husband should be and the wife looks at the Word of God and live as a wife should be, that God's going to honor your faith. God's going to honor your faith. I do a lot of counseling for marriages. And they come in and they talk about the other one. You know what my husband did? Yeah. I mean, you're telling me in full force what they did. But they're not here, are they? So I need to talk to you. You're the one here. And the possibility of change is not over there. It's right here. So let's talk where we can get some things done right here. It's not what I wanted to do today. It's what can happen. It's where God can meet and miracles can happen right here. You want freedom? You want freedom? It's right here. It's not over there. It's right here. Oh, it got a little tight. Because Christ is over the house.
Yes,
he is. He's over the house.
Yes.
And he will move. Hebrews 10:35. Be my last scripture here. Write this one down. Memorize it. Write it on your mirror at home. Do whatever it takes. Write it on your hand. Make a rubber stamp. Put it on your wrist. I don't care. Hebrews 10:35. Says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence. Your confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. Isn't it sad? If that's my prize, if that is my prize, and I stop here, that would be horrible. Even though I can't see it, even though I'm going, oh my gosh, if I'd have just taken one more step, But I threw it away. I threw it away. Look, folks. Your confidence. There's a heavenly reward. I honestly believe this. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven. I don't believe that all of our rewards are going to come in heaven. I believe we get some of our reward here on earth. And when we obey God and when we move in God and when God is showing us His power and His intent in our lives, we can walk in blessings. So I believe in that. But I know this, there's going to be a greater reward in heaven. You know, I do. I believe I'm not going to have to struggle as much as I do here on earth. The devil's going to be thrown in a lake of fire, and you know, I'm not going to have that opposition anymore. But the reality is, while here on earth, I'm going to fight the good fight. You know? And I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to give up on her. I'm not going to give up on my kids. I'm not going to give up on this community. I'm not going to give up. You see, I don't want you to give up either. See, God says He always has a remnant. He always has that little bit that He says, I can use them to bring about a victory. You see, I'm no one special. That ain't it. That is not it. In fact, He says, in your weakness, I will show my power. That doesn't mean I can be weak for weakness' sake. It just means that I'm looking for His power. I'm looking for what He can do. I'm looking for His goodness. I'm looking for what He can manifest through this frail body. I don't always say the right things at the right time. I don't always speak eloquently. I don't, you know, but that's okay. I don't mind. Let His anointing. You know, in Acts, there was this great thing that happened. There was a tongues came out and people were hearing the word of God being preached in different languages. And they were saying, is this a miracle of tongues of what they were saying? Or was this a miracle of hearing? Was this happening because people were speaking in different languages? Or was this a miracle of how they heard it? I don't care. Because this is what I think. By the time it comes out of my mouth and the time it gets into His ear, there's a miracle happening. You know? And I'm counting on it. You understand? Because I believe you come here looking for a miracle, right? You got to believe it. You got to know it. Man, I'm thankful for every one of you guys coming here today. There's people that are sick. There's people that are gone. But God gave me a message about the remnant. And I'm going to preach to the remnant. You got something? Come on.
It is about the remnant. And that's the starting place, and it's God's provision. And the oil is about anointing, and anointing breaks the yoke and sets the captives free. And that's what that oil is about. And it talks about us being tents, houses, with like that house that had a little bit of oil in it. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit being that deposit in us, that promise, that deposit for that we will receive when we receive our inheritance. But the Holy Spirit is that anointing. And we're in that time where there's 10 virgins waiting for the bridegroom, Jesus, to come back. That's our time that we're in. And 5 had oil and 5 didn't. They valued the oil. Do you value the oil that's in you?
Yes.
And what are you going to do with it? That's not the final answer. The goal is not a remnant. That's the beginning. That's the provision. But God wants increase. I just got a text this morning from Pauly in New York. And Pauly was a drug addict. And he heard the Lord and he sold. He got so excited. He found out about this group that goes on mission trips. He had a garage sale and sold all his drug paraphernalia in the garage sale so he could pay to go on the mission trip to the Himalaya Mountains. He didn't know any better. He just knew he needed money and he wanted to go with the Lord. And I just got it. That was years ago. And I met him 4 years after that on another trip. And this morning I asked him, what's the Lord been doing the last year for you? And he's going next month to Argentina, and he's excited to see what the Lord's going to do. And he says, I quit my job last year so I could be freed up and I could follow the Lord and I could be available. I'm making the same amount of money. God's faithful. But I don't have to worry about a boss telling me I can't go on a mission trip because I want to go serve the Lord, and I'm doing street ministry. And I'm hungry. I'm on the prowl for souls, he said. And he says, it's not me, it's the Lord. But he started with a small little thing. Now he's going to Argentina. And, you know, the angel said his name is Jesus. He didn't say his name is Jesus Christ. But he is Christ. And Christ means the anointed one. And that's about the oil. And that anointing breaks the yoke in our lives. And we're the body of Christ. And there's the anointing on us. It's not us. The 300 did not take swords and kill 120,000 people. They just did the winning strategy that the Lord gave.
Amen.
And the Lord did the work. They didn't run around and kill 120,000 people that were trying to kill them. They just did what the Lord told them to do. And the Lord brought the increase. And so when we anoint, and when we allow the Lord's strategies that he gives us to, when we obey that, then the provision comes. Then the increase comes, the 30, 60, 100-fold. And so I really believe that it's time to anoint just by faith, as an act of faith, and let the Lord do what the Lord will do. And so, Arthur, if you want to anoint some people with oil, I believe the Lord's going to do the miraculous.
I have an invitation, and the invitation is this. If you are believing for something, and this is just a point of contact, and if you want an anointing, like he was talking about, I want to anoint you, and you're going to come forward, and I'll anoint you with this oil. And then you're going to take that point of contact, and you're going to tell the Lord, I'm believing this. I have stepped out in faith. So, Lord, I'm ready to see what you're going to do with what I've just handed you. And it is the strategy. He's exactly right. 300 men didn't physically take these swords out and kill 120,000 men. It was strategy that God sent them out. Read the stories. They're great stories. But let's follow the strategy today. So if you just come forward, we don't need music. Just come forward, and I will pray for you and anoint you with oil.